that the Lord shall be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the first epistle of Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Chapter 1, the first epistle of Timothy, and the 15th verse. This is a word which is very familiar to you, a word that is often quoted. Oh, what a wonderful truth it sets forth, and how good it is if that truth has been made to you the joy and rejoicing of your heart. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. I want, as the Lord shall help me, to look at the subject from three viewpoints. One is, in this great statement, faithful saying, there is a wonderful mystery opened up. Christ Jesus came into the world. The God of heaven was seen among men. And then there is this viewpoint of the subject, a wonderful mission, astonishing to contemplate. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the third viewpoint is a wonderful message, and that is made manifest in the faithful saying. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And now that is an amazing declaration. Of whom I am chief. And yet if you have the mercy to be a sinner taught of God, you will say amen to that same truth. And you will speak on your own behalf, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth will speak. You will realize he came to seek poor sinners out, and you and me the worst, of whom I am chief. Many years ago, I was journeying in the train down the West Country on my way to fulfill an engagement to preach. And I was in a compartment alone, looking into the Word of God, thinking about what laid before me. And the guard came down the corridor of the train, and he looked in the compartment where I was and said, "Sir, can you give me a good word out of that good book?" I looked at him and I said, "Yes, I can. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I ended the quotation there. And he said to me, "How about finishing the text, sir?" I said, "I'm very glad if you feel like that, of whom I am chief." And he said, "If I cannot enter into the second half, I am afraid I shall have no real interest in the first half of the text." And I thought how well taught of God the man really was, and I felt a union of spirit to him. He was what the world calls an evangelical, but he was a sinner saved. And now, you and I will have to enter into the truth in the completeness of it as it is set forth in our text. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And this you will have to accept, and you will do willingly, knowing it is the truth. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. No sinner needed mercy more that ever sought God's face, of whom I am chief. As I thought on this subject just a little, hoping it was the right one to say a little to you upon, I thought how good it would have been if you and I could have heard the Apostle Paul preach from it. And he says in the context, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." And then he comes to our subject, and he sums it up as you must do if God leads you into his truth, "Of whom I am chief." And then he makes this statement: "Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." As though the Apostle Paul declared, "I would have you understand that seeing God has shown his great mercy to such a sinner as I was and I am, who of mercy need despair, since I have mercy found." And that was the substance of how he tried to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Let us look at it as the Lord should help us from these three viewpoints. A wonderful mystery. Christ Jesus came into the world, and the Word of God says, and in one of these epistles to Timothy, that great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You and I do need to take our shoes from off our feet in the gospel sense of it. For the place whereon we stand is holy ground. You see, there are many people, religious folk, and others who are irreligious, who will accept it as a matter of history, a fact that cannot be controverted, that Christ Jesus came into the world. And they just accept it from the viewpoint of history. But an historical faith will not give you a passport through the gates of pearl. Remember that. The faith of God's elect is not just an historical faith. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek him. And if this faithful saying is accepted by you, and blessed be God, many of you have found it worthy of all acceptation. And because you have been enabled to accept it, you have got an ever-deepening concern to realize that when Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, it was such a sinner as you he came into the world to save. Oh, you want to realize you have a living interest in the life that Jesus lived and the death that he died, and that when he rose from the dead with the Church of Christ in mystical union with him as the Church's living head, you rose in him then, and that he now is in heaven on your behalf, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Oh, you cannot be content or feel as you want to feel until you realize, for me, O miracle of grace, for me, the Savior bled. It is indeed a wonderful mystery that Christ Jesus came into the world. And I read to you in John's Gospel just a little concerning it. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And again, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto his own land, the land of promise, and his own people dwelling therein received him not. And they said, and sinners still say the same, we will not have this man to reign over us. And then John tells us in a beautiful word, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Oh, do think on this wonderful mystery. And let your conscience tell you, if you receive it as a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world. It is a wonderful contemplation. I try at times to think about it, but language is poverty-stricken to say much about it. The Word of God tells us that in heaven itself, angels veil their faces before him and continually do cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And yet there is this wonderful mystery. Almighty God, sighed human breath, the Lord of life, experienced death. How it was done, we can't discuss, but this we know, do we? This we hope, 'twas done for us. Yes, sinners, of whom I am chief. And now when Christ Jesus came into the world, how wonderful it is to go to Bethlehem and see how he came. Did you ever do it? Did you ever find your heart wrought upon and by living faith go to Bethlehem? Humble yourself, as it were, before that little babe laid in a manger cradle, sheltered in a stable, and see in that little babe Christ Jesus, Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? What think ye of Christ? A wonderful mystery, that his shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up him. I have felt sometimes there is such a sweetness in going to Bethlehem, and whenever I have the task, I was going to say, to lay all that is mortal of a little babe in the grave, I do desire to go to Bethlehem for a little while before I attend to it. And why? When Christ Jesus came into the world and was born a babe by birth, mysterious, he was born a holy babe. The only babe that ever was born, a holy babe. It is very solemn reading that in the beginning, when God created Adam, that he made him in his own image. Think of it. Adam was made in the image of God. And as he came from his Creator's hands, he was a perfect creature, complete with moral righteousness, a perfect creature. But sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all of sin, and the Adam fall took place, and there was made a tremendous breach betwixt God and man. And the Lord God drove out the man and the woman too from Eden's garden into the world under the curse of God from that time on. And as Adam's life went on, as he lived it, what do you read? Adam begat a son in his own likeness. A sinful father begets a sinful son. Yes. So that every babe coming into the world comes in the image of its father, a sinner. But Jesus Christ, when he was born, was the holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God, manifest in the flesh. And I cannot find words to say what could be said, because I would not use imprudent words. But it would have been possible for God to have sent his Son down into the world fully grown to do that great work which he had to do. But it was not the will of God that it should be on that basis. Christ Jesus should come into the world to save sinners. No. He must go right through from the cradle to the cross and be born a babe and then grow up through childhood and youth to manhood and then do that great work which he came into the world to do. And in doing that, do remember, he was made of a woman, made under the law, so that he kept that law from the cradle to the cross. And he said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, at whatever age people may be, whom Christ Jesus came into the world to save, it matters not. Be they babes, children, youths, maids, men and women, and those right down to old age. At any sphere, any stage in life's journey, this is to be known. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of all ages and of all sorts, people of every kindred, tribe, and tongue shall dwell on his name with sweetest song. And I can assure you, going back to what I said about a babe being laid in the grave, that there is a wonderful feeling given to us in doing so. The foundation truth of our most holy faith, salvation is of the Lord. And you can say of a little babe whose redeemed spirit gets to heaven before it knows there is a heaven to go to, when all that is mortal of it is laid in the grave, in sure and certain hope of a joyful resurrection to the life everlasting. Because that little babe has got a redeemed spirit, a soul, immortal, fitted for the skies. You will agree, surely, it is a wonderful mystery. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It was the work before his holy eyes by night and day as he journeyed through his life, fulfilling the law in every jot and tittle of all its demands. This was his great work to save sinners. And now it might be well to sum this up a little. What think ye of Christ? What does all this mean to you? It is a faithful saying. Hundreds of millions of sinners have found how faithful it is. Oh, they have found that word a wondrous reality. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And now do you accept it? Is it a faithful saying that hangs about in your mind in everyday life, and sometimes a question arises, did Jesus die and not for me? Am I forbade to seek my God? Is there not pardon full and free proclaimed through Jesus' precious blood? Oh, to know Christ Jesus came into the world to save such a sinner as I feel to be. Sinners of whom I am chief. This man receiveth sinners. He delighteth in mercy. And what do you sing? I wish you believed it, as it should be believed. The vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, he's welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. A wonderful mystery. See Christ Jesus as he came into the world, at length fulfilling the work in the completeness of it. When on Calvary's cross you see a scene of matchless grace, 'tis Jesus in the sinner's place. And there it is demonstrated, Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy eternal, mercy cries. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for the ungodly. A faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And if you accept it in your soul's desires, you will never feel as you want to feel until you see Jesus and see in him all your salvation and all your desire. And you can feel, my beloved is mine and I am his, and his desire is toward me. It is a wonderful mystery. And now let us look at it as a wonderful mission. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. A number which no man can number. Sinners. What does that really mean? Sinners who were made aware, that is the name to which they answer. If you want God to call you by your name, when he is pleased to do that, he will call you sinner, because that is your name. Remember that. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What does that imply? Sinners, embracing all whom God the Father had ordained to life eternal. You must compare Scripture with Scripture. And before time was born or the world was built, there was a number which no man can number, shut up in the covenant of grace, to be sinners saved by grace. And in that covenant of grace, Christ Jesus was proclaimed as the mediator of it. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and that he, in the fullness of time, would come into the world and do that which had to be done, that a door of mercy might be opened in heaven, and that all that vast host of sinners ordained to life by God the Father might be made meet for the inheritance of the saints in life. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What did he come to save these sinners from? First of all, he came to save them from the ruin which was wrought by the Adam fall. Our hymn writer says, "For this there must be one who can from sin and death release us, make up the breach twixt God and man, which none can do but Jesus." When he came into the world to save sinners, Christ Jesus went down to the very bottom and lower still of the Adam fall, who remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever. Strictly speaking, the Adam fall is a bottomless abyss. You cannot tell the depth of it. Words fail. But Jesus Christ went down into the very depths of it. He saw me ruined in the fall, and loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh how great. Not only so, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners from the law's curse and condemnation. All these sinners in the text, who will indeed ultimately be sinners saved by grace, were lost sinners in the Adam fall. And therefore, they were under the law's curse and condemnation. Did you ever ponder what that really is? Cursed is the man that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. And now Christ Jesus came into the world to endure that curse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, as it is written, "Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." And in the holy life that he lived, in the death of infinite merit which he died, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one which believeth. Yes. So that the terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do if I am one of the sinners in the text. Sinners of whom I am chief. My Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. And then Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners from sin's utter defilement. Oh, it must have been exquisite suffering beyond our words to describe. For Christ Jesus, as verily man and the holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God, to be made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the word of God tells us. And he came into the world that he might save sinners from sin's utter defilement, so that in the ultimate issue of his great salvation, they are made fit to be the guests of God. And it says the Church of Christ is to be presented before God the Father without wrinkle or spot or blemish or any such thing. And in another word, it says, blameless and unreprovable. Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and to remove sin's utter defilement. Yes. So that they are a holy people, fitted for the skies. And then Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners from being overcome by the world and falling a prey to the wickedness of it. Oh, that is a great declaration. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes. And that means this. Whatever our circumstances may be in the world, and they may be adverse circumstances, whatever their nature, Christ Jesus came into the world that poor sinners like you and me might enter into that wonderful word. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. Yes. Ye are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, said the Savior to his disciples. Marvel not if the world hate you, but know this, it hated me before it hated you. So that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and to ensure to every sinner saved that they should triumph over the world and all that is therein, and choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And there is this to be named. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners from going down into eternal misery. The hymn writer says, our sins a hell procured, and he that hell endured. And says Williams the hymn writer, death of death and hell's destruction. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, so that when each of these sinners saved comes down to die, oh, they will find the bottom to be good, in Jordan's swelling. Have that amazing mercy to realize, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Much might be said along that line of thought. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And now that is only just a faint outline of what his mission was. And now let us look at this third viewpoint, the wonderful message This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And now maybe some of you will have searchings of heart. You will argue about it. Can it be a possibility Christ Jesus came into the world to save a sinner like me? And now, if you look into the Word of God, which is what you should be doing, you will find there much to encourage you to hope in God, even though you are the sinner that you feel to be. And I like to look at it from this viewpoint. And now, in Old Testament times, under the law, it was made very plain that he who was guilty of murder, or of adultery, or of blasphemy, the law said to such sinners, thou shalt die. There could be no question of any extenuating circumstances. There could be no setting aside the law, but it had to be fulfilled in each instance. Thou shalt die. And now that is what the law said to sinners born under it, especially those in that category which I have named. And now, if you think it over, this is the gospel of the grace of God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And now such sinners, as I have named, are saved under the gospel. And the gospel says to them, when they are brought before God, to put their mouth in the dust of self-abasement, if so be there may be hope, thou shalt not die. I've often thought about David, the psalmist, because in his heart he was a murderer, and alas, allied to it, an adulterer, in one sad incident in his life. And yet you remember, after a long while, God dealt with David, and he was humbled before God to acknowledge his iniquity. And then Nathan was commissioned to say, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. And now that is the essence of the gospel. Through this man there is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And now you think of some of the characters of whom you read when Jesus Christ went about doing good, and he came into the world to save sinners. And some of the sinners that he did save, oh, they were notorious characters. Think of the dying thief who was saved in life's latest hours. Think of Mary Magdalene. And now, let Paul himself be a witness, as I read to you, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. The word of God says, when he was Saul of Tarsus, that he haled men and women to prison that they might be put to death. In his heart he was a murderer. And yet he was saved by grace. Oh, the wonderful grace of God. Or sins unnumbered as the sand, and like the mountains for their size, the seas of sovereign grace expand, the seas of sovereign grace arise. It is a faithful saying. and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you might remember too, Manasseh in Old Testament times, who made Jerusalem's streets run with rivers of blood. And yet even such an one as he was, when in his affliction he called on the Lord his God, he found this word to be a sure word in his soul's experience. And he found mercy. And now who can tell but what God will be gracious unto you? This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. And the gospel, as it is proclaimed by those whom God ordains to preach it and grants his divine aid to do it, the gospel is indeed what it was declared to be in its first proclamation. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Good tidings of great joy. It is tidings that God is approachable. Tidings that there is forgiveness of sins to be known. Tidings of a righteousness for poor sinners who are aware they have none of their own. Tidings of a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Yes, it is tidings of exceeding great and precious promises to encourage poor sinners to wait on him who is the sinner's friend and find in him all their salvation and all their desire. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And now think of that word in Isaiah. Think on it when you get home. Think on it prayerfully. Come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. And your sins, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though they be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Raise thy downcast eyes and see. Numbers do is thrown surround. Who were sinners once like thee? But blessed be God, they have mercy found. Amen.
Once more,
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon us and all who love the truth everywhere. Amen and amen.